very important moment, actually, not only in their lives, but these two young men are going to take vows to dedicate their lives to God. And you can just imagine how many blessings that will bring, not only upon them, but upon their family as well. You know, it's sort of, you have someone in case you need it. It's just like in some families, they have a doctor in the family. That's always handy. Yeah, it saves you a lot of money. Other families, you have a lawyer in the family in case you get in legal trouble. But you have someone who has a special connection up there in the family. So that is a good thing. So it's nice that you were able to be part of this ceremony today. We have begun with some auspicious invocation prayers. We want to thank Chandramouli Maharaj for bringing his blessings and all the other Vaishnavas for bringing theirs. Because in spiritual life, and actually in life, success depends on blessings. Without blessings, how can we be successful? When we think we can be successful in life just on our own strength and power, then, yeah. If you think we can be successful just on our own strength and power, then we are in illusion, because we depend. Strength is a gift from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everything depends on blessings. When there are blessings of the Lord, blessings of the devotees, blessings of the family, then everything will be auspicious and we can receive the strength. Because otherwise, how can one make vows for a whole life? You don't know what life will bring. I've had some surprises myself in life. And it wasn't always so easy to live by the vows. So we are promising something that we can only fulfill by the mercy of Krishna. And by the blessings. When Krishna will help us, then it can be done. Not that, you know, now we've been around, both of you have been here for a longer period of time, involved with Krishna consciousness for quite a number of years. And you're not new to this lifestyle, to these vows. So one might say, well, they have some experience. They do. But without the blessings, nothing can be done. So therefore, we begin our initiation in that mood of realizing that simply we always take shelter of the devotees. Hare Krishna. And always take shelter of the Supreme Lord. It's just like, it's a ceremony. Nice. Thank you. Perfect. I wanted to first do the Archman, then we have all the purification done, so we can just take the spoon in the right hand and throw a few drops in the hands and throw the water. Yeah. He also, okay, now we can put some water in the left hand and shift the spoon to the left hand. Spoon in the left hand. Yeah. And then you put 3 drops while looking at the water, zip and say, Om Keshavaya Namaha. three drops and throw. And then Om Narayana. Three drops in throat and three drops in the right hand. Om Madhavaya Namah. Okay. Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavasta Gatupiva Yasmare Pundrikaksam Sabaya Bhyantara Suchi Shivishnu Shivishnu Shivishnu. So whether we come from a pure background or an impure background, pavitra, apavitra, that is secondary. Because by remembering the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will become purified and then everything becomes possible. So in this way we continue. So the next part of the ceremony is where I will explain a little bit about the meaning of initiation. Then they will take the vows, and then after that our priest will perform the Agnihotra, the Yajna, the sacrifice. Of course, we'll ask if the senior devotees so desire to also offer a few words. Initiation is a change. It's a beginning. Although we have been practicing Krishna consciousness, although we have done devotional service, still initiation is a change. It's not the ceremony is meant for that purpose. We enter the ceremony like one person, and we come out of the ceremony like a different person. What is the difference? Externally, we are receiving a new name, a name connected to Krishna. And that name is establishing how we are the instrument of Krishna. Because we are not only receiving a spiritual name, but we are also receiving the title Das, servant. That we are the servant of Krishna. So, as the servant of Krishna and of the servants, the servant of the servant, Dasanudas, not only Das, but also Dasanudas, the servant of the servant. So, as Dasanudas, as the servant of the servant, we are not only becoming servants of Krishna, but we also become the servants of the spiritual master. Ado Guru Padasraya, Srila Rupa Goswami, when he begins in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to explain the 64 limbs of bhakti, the first one he mentions is Ado Guru Padasraya. First, take shelter of the lotus feet of Guru. And that is not that, okay, we're doing that, and then let's move on. Right? It shouldn't be seen in that way. First, take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Do these things first, and that's out of the way, and then we can attend to other matters. No, Ado Guru Padasraya means at all times. That's the foundation. At every moment, we center again. At every moment, we focus again and again. Ado Guru Padasraya. So this Ado Guru Padasraya is something we're establishing today as a continuum, as something that stays with us throughout our entire spiritual life. And each time again, we make that sambandha, we make that connection. And every day, that is why we are offering obeisances to the spiritual master at least 3 times a day, as we sing in the morning. Yes, 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 yat prasada, bhagavat prasada, yes, yat prasada, nagati katopi, dayam stuvam tasya, trisandhyam, at the trisandhyas, 3 times a day. In the morning we rise, offer obeisances. In the middle of the day, offer obeisances. In the evening, we offer our obeisances. Ado Guru Padasraya. Always. In any mission, we offer our prayers, our obeisances to our spiritual master. Because that establishes truly our identity as a servant. Otherwise, how we are a servant. The spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. The super soul is also guru. He is Chetya Guru. He is the guru within the heart. And the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. So that relationship with the spiritual master is really established by taking on the service attitude. That's how the relationship is working. The essence of the relationship is not how often there is communication. Yeah? Some people think the relationship is depending on how many messages are going across, or you know, how much personal interaction. Of course, that is there, and that is also important. But the essence is to be the servant, and to try and fulfill the desire of the spiritual master. In the Nectar of Devotion, since I went there now, there is a description about servitorship, dasya, and that the foundation of all devotional service is dasya, and that dasya, that servitorship, is having 2 aspects. One is general, a mood of servitorship, just being a servant. But the other aspect of dasya is known as kinkar. And kinkar means to become the personal attendant. The personal attendant. For example, when we're offering something to drink, we can offer all kinds of things. You can offer water, you can offer fruit juice, you can offer milk, you can offer tea, you know, whatever you want to offer. Right? But when you are kinkar, personal attendant, no, then what is it that the person who we are attending to, what does he want? Right? What does he want? So the kinkar always has that mood. What does he want? You know, not just what is authorized, what is bona fide. You know, if your general mood of servant in bhakti, then it is what is bona fide, right? Oh yeah, all the juices are bona fide. Milk, shakes, about anything is bona fide. But as personal attendant, what does he want? So in this way, we can practice our devotional service on the spiritual master and perfect our service attitude. And eventually, it is said, Srila Prabhupada explained, the spiritual master takes the disciple by the hand and takes him to Krishna. That's it. Now you serve Krishna. Yeah. of course, Prahlad was saying, no, I will always serve my spiritual master. How can I not serve him? I'm totally indebted to him. So this sense of indebtedness must be there. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the opening words, Vande Gurun Isa Bhaktan. And Vande Gurun is plural. It is about worship the gurus, or the entire line of spiritual masters. Krishna is the original spiritual master. Dharmam tu saksat bhagavat pranitam. All religious principles find their origin with Krishna. It begins there. And the spiritual master is simply the representative of Krishna and of the previous acharyas. But the spiritual master has a special responsibility. And that special responsibility is to present transcendental knowledge according to kala, desha, patra, according to time, place, and circumstance. And that means the time, place, and circumstances of the world, but also the time, place, and circumstance of the individuals involved. So, therefore, the spiritual master has been given a license to make necessary adjustments that are to authorize such adjustments. Without the blessings of the spiritual master, one cannot make any adjustments. But spiritual master, he can make some adjustments. Of course, not in the essential elements of the process of devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada made such adjustments to make Krishna consciousness possible for people in the modern world. So as a disciple, today is about becoming a disciple. It is about making a commitment to very seriously adjust everything in life. So many things we have picked up, so many habits we have picked up, and we gave up certain sinful activities, and today we'll solidify that, no illicit sex, no gambling, and so on. But obviously, the surrender to Krishna involves many more adjustments. It involves in aligning ourselves with the scriptures. Therefore, the scriptures are a very central focus and very much part of the initiation. Without scripture, there's a question of giving substance to this initiation. It would just be a ritual, nice flowers, nice fruits, nice fire, and nice new names. But without scripture, the change, the transformation will not really take place. So, although we are not formally stating that we will read, my request is that we'll thoroughly study Srila Prabhupada's books, and especially Srimad Bhagavatam. When Srila Prabhupada was performing initiation, oftentimes there were four brahmanas in the corners of the yajna reading from four books: the Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because these four books are the pillars of our spiritual life. Right? So, Srila Prabhupada said that we should be very learned in these books. Right? We should just like a lawyer can quote from his law books, we should also be able to quote from our scriptures very thoroughly. So, a life with the scriptures, maybe a little more than before the initiation. You know, I don't know how much it was. I have no idea. But whatever it was, but let us use the initiation to sort of say, okay, I'm going to make a fresh effort to study the books more seriously. And that when we are walking away from here, that is one thing we take with us. I'm going to study these books now, seriously. And some devotees, they take vows, like our Vaisheshika Prabhu, who is a very substantial Vaishnava, so dedicated to book distribution, and his fame is there, you know, in leading book distribution in this movement worldwide. Not everybody knows what is behind that book distribution, but what is behind that book distribution is there is a very substantial sadhana. And Vaisheshika Prabhu is reading approximately about 60 pages of Bhagavatam a day. And by doing that, he can finish the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year. And then that's what he does. Right? He finishes the whole Bhagavatam once a year. So that's serious reading. Serious reading. But if you wonder, where does he get this strength, you know, to just be there and inspire? Well, then you see. Spiritual strength is not just arising by chance. It is not arising by karma. It is true, different people may have different karma. So some people may have from last life already some credits, some spiritual credits, and they're immediately very advanced and they pick up things. That's nice. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Rupa Goswami says that most of us had a connection with Krishna consciousness from last life and are continuing from last life. Something was there. Even the family members of devotees, they also already had something from last life. Yes, that's why they became family members of devotees. Yeah. But anyhow, we cannot just be successful with the, with what we brought from the last life. It is about making an effort in this life. So yes, think about it. How many pages of Bhagavatam you could read every day. Think about it. And maybe fix something just to get into the substance of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm. The chanting of the holy name is the topmost activity. And that holy name is chanted privately in japa, and it is also chanted publicly in Sankirtan. And I just want to open up the last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the last chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto is dedicated to the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam itself. In the final chapter of the Bhagavatam, the chapter is dedicated to describe the glories of Bhagavatam, the benefits of the Bhagavatam, and the importance of the Bhagavatam. And then the very last verse is as follows. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya sarva papa pranasanam pranamo dukkha samanas tam namami harim param. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. So here the emphasis is particularly placed on the congregational chanting of the holy names, and it destroys all sinful reactions. It does not just destroy the sinful reactions of all the people, of all the whole world. It is Padayatra week, and everywhere devotees are going around. They are wearing the t-shirts and they are ready for the action. The famous Slovenian Padayatra t-shirt. Yes, it's very well known. And all these towns are getting a lot of mercy. A lot of mercy. There's no doubt about it. People are getting purified. But not only the people who are hearing the holy name, the devotees also get purified. It is Padayatra is also, is first of all, saving the devotees. So this Harinam Sankirtan, this is the central focus of this movement. Even more important than chanting japa is sankirtan, is actually congregational chanting. It is even more important. Includes book distribution also. So then of course there is japa, and that is prescribed activity, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted a fixed number of rounds, and Srila Prabhupada gave us a minimum which we will also chant. But beyond that, Sankirtan is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the life of transcendental knowledge. It will bring life. Otherwise it's dry. It's just book knowledge. It's very dry. I had a cartoon about a monk, and the monk was living in this monastery, and he was cutting the grass with a lawnmower. And then with the lawnmower, he wrote on the grass, "God, I am bored." Yes. And it's like often asked, how is it possible? How can you live like a monk? How can you live a life like a monk? It's not so easy. It's easy to get bored. Yes. But if we are part of the dynamic Sankirtan movement, and we are part of making a change in the world, if we are part of spreading the holy name, and if we are part of lifting the sinful burden of the world, if we give out transcendental books that are full of spiritual potency, then we feel that we're on the cutting edge. Then we feel we're part of the thing. And in the process of doing so, we start to think of the welfare and others instead of our own welfare. And thinking about our own welfare, that has been the agenda in our life for a long, long time. Many, many lifetimes, just thinking about ourselves. So this is really the key, Sankirtan. So since both of you are Sankirtan devotees, my prayer is that Krishna will give you the opportunity to carry on in this mood of a Sankirtan devotee your whole life. Exactly how that will look, that time will tell. Sometimes, these days, you can't help but see some video clip somewhere. Yes? It's practically impossible not to see a video clip. So they have the video clip of the karate expert, you know, some young guy, and he's doing like all these moves, you know, kicks and flying and so on. And very impressive. That's the young karate man. So then the old karate master comes out, and he doesn't do all that. All that he does is he has some chi or something and throws it, and then the energy is so concentrated, all his enemies fly in all directions, right? You know these karate movies, right? He does. It's something like that. When we're young, we run around with so much energy. And as we're getting older, it gets more concentrated. It gets more concentrated, our focus. But may you always, throughout life, remain an instrument of the mercy and always somehow or other reach out to others and give them transcendental mercy. Our Satsarup Maharaj wrote a book on compassion, and it's a nice book. It describes many points about compassion, and compassion is a very important quality in the life of a Vaishnava. This is a central theme. We are meant to develop the quality of compassion, but it's not so easy. So Satsarup Maharaj started, and he says, well, actually, I don't have very much compassion, right? Honest confession type of approach. I don't have much compassion. And he says, if I have any compassion, then it's mostly for myself. I feel very sorry for myself, not so much for others. So compassion is quite an important thing to develop. So this Harinam Sankirtan, is such, even if in the beginning we just join it externally and we become part of it, part of distributing the holy name, part of distributing books, part of somehow or other giving the mercy, it awakens that compassion. Yes. But every year then, I was going to, in Mayapur, to Mamgachi. Mamgachi is the place of Vasudev Dutta. Vasudev Dutta is that devotee who is compassion personified. Yes. Because Vasudev Dutta told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, please transfer all the karma of the whole universe upon me, so that all these living beings in the universe can go back to Godhead. And he was very serious, and that's a lot of karma. That's intense. So Vasudev Dutta was the embodiment of compassion. And so every year I would go and pray to Vasudev Dutta for compassion. And then we would discuss also being there on the topic of compassion. So one year, as we were there, because when one is in such a place is filled with mercy, right? So when we were in that place, then Krishna gave me the realization that one cannot be compassionate until one has something better. Right? Unless you have something better than someone else, how can you be compassionate? How can you give anything to them? You must really have something better, then you can really be compassionate. Therefore, to be compassionate begins by being very serious in our own achar, in our own behavior. If we take shelter of the behavior of the Vaishnava as much as possible, and all the practices of a Vaishnava, and we fill our day Then our prachar, then our preaching will also have substance. Otherwise, we will be lagu, right? One day, lagu means light, too light. So one night, actually, I had a dream. It was a somewhat awkward dream. But there was a stream of water, and there were two ducks, and these ducks, they were enjoying. They were clearly a couple, right? And they were enjoying each other's company very much, as couples do. And then, as I'm watching, this suddenly a big green snake comes swimming up the stream. And the snake just suddenly ate the two ducks. And I'm still standing like, wow. I'm standing on the side, and that snake ate the ducks. And I'm looking, wow. And then the snake turned around and came towards me. And then I go, whoa! You know? And then, somehow or another, I went up into the sky. And I woke up and said, wow, I got saved. I don't know how that happened, but I went up into the sky, I got saved. But as often is the case with dreams, if you meditate after the dream on what it really meant, well, in my meditation, the following meaning came out. And the meaning was this, is, okay, the ducks were the couple that was like enjoying the material energy, and the snake, the green snake, was the snake of lust. And that snake of lust devoured them. And then that snake of lust came in my direction, and somehow or other, I escaped, not by my own power. I just flew up in the air, and it was by. But I realized there and then that I just flew up because I was too light, lagu. I was lagu, too light. Too light. Spiritually too light. We should not be spiritual lightweights. You know, we should be in the heavyweight category. You know, spiritually speaking, not materially. Anyway, materially we are in whatever category we are. What can you do, you know? One is skinny and the other one is a little bigger. Right? And that's not something... that's destiny. But spiritually, we should have spiritual weight. Spiritual weight. Sometimes we hear references that we hear about Dhruva Maharaj, and under the weight of his tapas, the entire earth was pushed down. Yes. By his devotional service. So yes, we need that weight of our devotional service to carry the weight of the mission. Yes. If we're gonna carry that mission, if we're really going to embrace the Sankirtan mission very seriously for this life, and just then it means that we just build up our devotional strength, our devotional credits, and that we just build up our commitment to Sankirtan for a lifetime, and that it will grow, and that will just like become more and more committed. So that's what I'm asking. I'm not asking, and now please maintain this mood of Sankirtan for a lifetime. No. Develop it. As Prabhupada said, now double it. Yes. So, in this way, I'm very enlivened today to see that the focus, somehow or other, has become Sankirtan. And may that focus remain. Because this is, to be a Sankirtan devotee is the most powerful thing, the most glorious thing. That will attract the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that's what we're trying to do. We depend on mercy of the Lord. We're trying to do our best and then hope to attract the mercy of the Lord and then attain perfection. In order to save time, I will not give a lengthy explanation of the 10 offenses. I'm assuming that you are familiar with the 10 offenses. And if not, you'd better study up on them. Because the 10 offenses are to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy name. Otherwise, the success of chanting Hare Krishna will be delayed. I will ask the senior Vaishnavas. I'll ask, of course, first of all, Chandramouli Maharaj, if he would like to say a few words. You're very fortunate that Maharaj is here, you know, and that he has been here. I have a second microphone, yeah, and I have a servant also. It's all good. And I'm going to bring it to Maharaj. So we're very fortunate that Maharaj is here, and Maharaj has been here for a long time. And we want to thank, because Maharaj has so much devotional service to his credit, and therefore he's carrying that spiritual weight that we are praying for. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. First, I offer my obeisances to Kadambadkana Maharaj for being here. His association is always like the presence of the sun. So we thank him for coming and always inspiring the devotees in his vakya and his, especially in his absorption in the holy name. Maharaj spoke quite extensively and he covered many of the important principles of devotional service and what it really means to make the commitment to become a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara system. So I'll be very brief and just focus on maybe one or two points. When I was in New Vrindavan in 1973 is when I began, but there was one devotee who was coming from another place, and he was attracted to New Vrindavan, and so he would come, and he would always come in the springtime. And then when fall ended, he would leave. And then you wouldn't see him till next spring. And then he would be there for the whole time. And then he would come, leave again when fall ended. And then he'd come back again. So we gave him the name Samareshwara. Because he liked the warm weather. He is also teaching us what we shouldn't be, and that is what is called fair weather devotees. When things are nice, we're enthusiastic, and then when we find ourselves being faced with obstacles, those obstacles are many, Sometimes the attachments that we have have become an obstacle, or just the service given seems to be sometimes impossible or difficult in the circumstances we find ourselves in. So to see these challenges, obstacles, apparent difficulties as opportunities for making advancement in devotional service is the intelligence we need in order to move forward in devotional service. We don't want to be what is called fair weather devotees. That when everything is nice, we're nice. Everybody's nice. And you can expect that. That will happen. Every one of us, we always meet challenges and obstacles. It's part of the process. Why? It's the process of purifying ourselves from the attachments we have, the misconceptions we have, the ideas that we think are important. There are many, many reasons why we're faced with that. And if Krishna many times gives us these challenges in our devotional life just to help us move forward in Krishna consciousness. So one of the challenges that we see is that on the initiation day, and maybe even before and even a little bit after, there is this real happiness, feeling, success, moving forward. But then when we get down to the day-to-day work in Krishna consciousness, we'll find that, you know, it requires really, really being clear on what is our responsibility and how to carry out those responsibilities. And when we have that, and that comes, I think as Maharaj also mentioned, that comes with chanting the holy names of the Lord seriously, making that the foundation for the success of everything we perform in devotional service. Because the holy name, as Maharaj confirmed by reading that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which really summarizes the whole meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, is that as long as we stay fixed in chanting our japa and become enthusiastic for kirtan, we are getting the supreme mercy. Enechya asari maya nasi baralagi harinama mahamantra lao tumi magi. It's the medicine in this age. It's the strength we need to continue in our devotional service. It's not just about chanting. It's about developing namruchi. It's about developing a taste for that, the chanting of the holy name. And that comes with service to the Vaishnavas, which is a very, very big part of our execution of devotional service. Associating with the Vaishnavas, serving the Vaishnavas, and chanting the holy names of the Lord is the foundation where we can build all of our activities in devotional service. From there, everything springs. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's God himself, made that the focus of his whole mission. Spreading the holy name, serving Vaishnavas, and then he added one more, Jivadaya, as Maharaj was mentioned, with Vasudev Datta Thakur, the compassionate nature of a devotee who wants to give. They say if you have something that makes you happy, you want to share that with others so they can also experience the happiness that you're experiencing. So that happiness is our Krishna consciousness, or the realizations that we get in our execution of devotional service. So it's a very powerful process, and you will be challenged. That's the way life is. There's everyone, wherever they are, in whatever mode of activity are, everyone has challenges in life. But devotional challenges bring us to a higher state of consciousness and a higher state of knowledge and the happiness that comes with that. So don't be discouraged or by difficulties, challenges, obstacles, because they are Krishna's mercy. They are Krishna's mercy. They're special mercy, actually. They give us a chance to understand how much more we are actually made of when we accept these and stay fixed on the instructions of the spiritual master and accept these challenges as a way to increase our devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I won't take too much time because I know there's a whole ceremony there, yes. But I want to congratulate you for coming to this stage. It's very important. Not only important, it is essential. And I'd like to make a statement to all the devotees here. This ceremony is for all of you. It's just not about people who somehow or other are lucky or fortunate. Everyone who has a human form of life is meant to come to the stage of systematically and regularly worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is actually the goal of life. There is no second goal. And the mercy of the Lord, manifested by the presence of the spiritual master, is the vehicle by which we can achieve that success in life. So each of us, you think, well, maybe I'm not initiated, but someday I'd like to be sitting right where those other two devotees are sitting. Because then I know I will find everything I'm looking for in life and more. And that is, as Maharaj mentioned, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in devotion. So thank you for taking this step. It's not a small thing. It's the most important thing you can do because it is the purpose of human life. Hare Krishna.